do experience.
Is the third part in the influencer marketing for brand series. The last two times I spoke about branding, how branding is important before you reach out to influencers. And I spoke about how it is important if you work in the digital marketing space and you are planning to work with influencers, it is important that you yourself have social media accounts so that you understand how it works and you understand what the importance is. It's hard to explain otherwise. It might seem like an influencer is trying to sell you things that they're not able to deliver, but if you yourself have an account and you've seen the engagement, then the chances of you understanding how it works are much higher. It also makes it easier for you to understand what the deliverables can possibly be, how content is used, how can images be put to use best. You know, you'll understand that Instagram, for example, is more visual, but also can be used for literally microblogging on a daily basis. You will understand what is the importance of blogs, how are blogs different from a platform like Instagram or a platform like Twitter, for example. So we've spoken about branding, your own experience with social media. I've also touched upon how you need to decide what the campaign will be, what the goal of the campaign will be, because you need to know whether you're selling a product, you're promoting a product, is there a new product launch? Or are there other changes in your own branding which you want to promote? Generally, most influencer marketing campaigns have a goal of increasing awareness about the brand or about a brand's product so that more people remember you, more people recall you when they're looking for that particular brand or product. And I also spoke a little bit about deliverables, and you need to decide what those deliverables are as a brand before you reach out to an influencer. So it isn't just that you say, oh, we're working with an influencer, but what deliverables do you want from them? It whether that influencer is a photographer, for example. So do you want them to produce images for you? How many images do you want? Images of what? So there needs to be a creative brief there. You also then need to decide in terms of deliverables on social media. How many Instagram updates are you looking for? How many Twitter updates are you looking for? And you'll be able to judge these things only once you yourself have some experience on how these social media platforms work. Otherwise, you're going in blind and you might be wasting money. And I know a lot of brands who have a lot of marketing budget money, and they come and say, this is our budget, what can you do for us? That's not good enough as an influencer. I want to know what the product is. I want to know whether I can have a relationship with the product, in the sense that, am I comfortable promoting it? Am I comfortable talking about it with my audience? Is it good enough for me to share with my audience? Because over the years, I've been blogging and I have been online for more than 12 years now, and I have established credibility with my audience. I have established integrity, and there's a relationship that's going on there. And I don't ever want to promote or talk about a product that I promote only because I'm getting paid and it's not good enough and my audience stops trusting me. That's the last thing I want. Not just because it makes business sense as an influencer to have an audience that trusts me and trusts my word and I can help a brand's word of mouth marketing, but also because it doesn't sit well with me personally to promote something that I don't believe in. Which is why, for example, if a brightening or a whitening beauty product gets in touch with me, I say that there are ways for me to work with you as a photographer, but I will not be able to promote your product and say that, hey, this is a brightening, whitening product and please use it, because I don't use those and I don't promote those. I don't think there's anything wrong with any skin color, any skin condition. I mean, it is what it is, and I don't discriminate on the basis of that. So I don't see why I should be promoting a brightening or a whitening product. So you need to understand, there are influencers who will do that, who will do just anything because you're paying them. But in general, I would advise that you stay away from those influencers, because in the long run, you have to understand influencer marketing is also brand building. you're building a brand, and if you don't work with the right kind of people, it will hurt your brand in the long run. We've already spoken about these aspects in part 1 and 2. Today is part 3, and this module is called Things to Consider. So what a brand needs to consider before they even get to an influencer. In the third part today, I'm going to be talking about content. And what I mean is things to consider related to actual content. For example, what is the content going to be that you want your influencer to produce? They can be photographs, so there's visuals. It could be illustrations if you're working with an illustrator who is an influencer. Or it could be a musician. So are you producing a piece of music with them? It could be, you know, a celebrity. So are you producing an ad with them? Things like that. So these are pieces of content. If you're working with a writer, what are they going to write? How many words? How many photos? You need to consider this before you get into even searching for the kind of influencers you want to work with. And it's not a standalone thing, although, because you know, you can't just think that, okay, we need these deliverables, and once we're done, then we'll look at what influencers to work with. It doesn't work like that. When you're thinking about these things, you'll also start to think of how you're going to get to an influencer, how you're going to choose which influencer to work with. For example, just now when I was saying photos, or if it's a piece of music, or if it's an illustrator, these are all kinds of influencers. You have to see whose audience you would like to reach and why. So you need to, you know, decide what is your target audience, and then who is influencing that target audience. So if your target audience, for example, you can ask influencers for their media kits on Instagram. For example, if an influencer has a business account, they can actually tell you what their audience is. So for example, in my case, I think it is 24 to 39 year old women primarily is my audience on Instagram. I can also give you details of the demographic, as in where are they from, which country, then which city, etc. So there are some, obviously I can't drill down too much on Instagram. I can give you drill down data for the blog, and you can establish those things. So you will decide everything simultaneously. But these are the things. So content, for example, like I said, words, photos, illustrations. Photos of what? Will it be your product? Will the influencer be photographing your product? Will you be having a photographer who will photograph the influencer holding or wearing or using your product? If your product, for example, is a hotel, are you going to hire a photographer who will follow the influencer around when the influencer is staying at your hotel? So you have to decide whether, again, photos, and will the experience be captured in words also, or is it just going to be images? If it's going to be a combination, approximately how many words are you looking at? On the blog, depending on the experience and the number of days of the experience, etc., it can range from 200 words to 2000 words as well. And of course, it also depends on the brand's budget. If their budget is only for 200 words, then writing 2000 words takes some time. It can take, you know, if that's the only thing I'm doing, it could take up to 2 to 3 days for me to formulate what my experience was and to structure it in a way and then get it proofread, show it to someone who is a better writer than I am. I'm more a photographer in that sense. So you need to decide the visuals, the words that will be used. And of course, having brand guidelines helps. While I don't encourage brands to ask influencers for a draft before they publish, and I don't encourage influencers to offer a draft, because then it's not your opinion, is it? It gets tailored, it might get censored, and it's not an authentic experience that you're sharing. But at the same time, a brand must share their brand guidelines with the influencer and say that, hey, you know, I don't want X to be done with the brand, for example, or how a logo of a brand is presented. For example, some brands have guidelines where you can't present the logo on a solid color background. It can only be on black or on white. So maybe you can't put the logo on the photo that the influencer has created. You need to tell this to the influencer before the project starts. So if you have all these guidelines laid down, then it's a lot easier to do that and not create misunderstandings, which are really easy to do because it's all relationship-based work, and it's better to communicate that beforehand than wait for the images to come in or the influencer to post the blog or the image on Instagram, and then you call them up and say, hey, can you remove this because this doesn't work for us. Like, ideally, you should do that way before in this process when you're doing things to consider. The other thing is, yeah, like I said, photos of what? You could also have photographs of the process. Like, I love photographing behind the scenes. So, for example, how is a dress made? Like this dress that I'm wearing right now, how? Where is the fabric sourced from? Is it hand woven? The photographs of that weaving process, the photographs of the cloth dyeing process, cutting, patterns, etc. So that is also a piece of content. You could just have photographs of an influencer wearing the clothes and getting themselves photographed. That's called personal style blogging or personal style influencers. And those are most relevant for the fashion, for a fashion brand, but it can work for other brands also. It doesn't necessarily have to be fashion. For example, I go and whenever I travel and I'm doing a gig with a hospitality brand, I go and stay there. But I also, before I leave, I get in touch with fashion brands here that I have worked with, and I ask them to send me apparel or footwear or bags or sunglasses. And of course, it's a paid thing where they say, okay, these are the pieces from our latest collection. Choose which one you'd like. And when I'm at that property and I'm doing a gig with a hospitality brand, I actually get myself photographed wearing their stuff. So it's a story which turns out for the hospitality brand also, because I say location, courtesy, etc., etc. And I'm doing a separate story for the hospitality brand, of course. And the fashion brand gets an on-location shoot for which otherwise they probably would have had to spend God knows how much money, because you know you need a team and you need models and you need all these people need to travel. Locations charge money to allow you to shoot at their place. Damage can occur, things like that. But if you work with an influencer, these things, especially if that influencer has a really good photographer on hand, then you can actually utilize an influencer to actually just have a lookbook created on their own. They can just do that for you. So that's another example, but you need to decide what you want done. So that's what I meant by in terms of not just images and text, but how. Images of what? Text should be about what? Is it going to be about the influencer describing the product? Is it going to be the influencer writing a short story like creative fiction and trying to weave your product into it? So it could be indirect also, it could be direct also, where it's very obvious that where they say that I was hired by this brand to do a brand building exercise and this is what my experience was. Yeah, of course, who is producing the content is another. So we've covered the what the content should be, and then photos of what and content, text about what, etc. The other thing is who will be producing the content. So a lot of times brands already have images from a campaign, or they already have a press release which they can send out to influencers, and they can, depending on the kind of content that the influencer creates. So there are some influencers who will just who publish just press releases and images that a brand sends them. I don't think that's a good idea at all, either in the short run or in the long run. But it can be, it does happen. But you can also reach out to some influencers who use images that the brand sends to them. They might not have a blog or post it on the blog, but some of them might post it on their Instagram. For example, I have shared television commercials on my Instagram. They were paid. I mentioned that in the caption part of Instagram. But this was content that the agency or that the brand had already produced. So I didn't produce it. But the ad resonated with me. I really liked what the message in the ad was. And it was done really, really well. So I didn't have a problem getting paid to do that. I get approached to share TVCs and ads all the time. Most of the time, I'm like, I don't like this, so I'm not going to share it. So credibility and authenticity in that sense matter for me. And it should matter to the influencer that you work with also. So if it doesn't resonate with the influencer's brand or the influencer's audience, most likely they will come and tell you that, look, this is not working for me. Generally, try and work with people like that, because the probability of getting authentic content that is believable is much higher. You might not end up working with them all of the time, but they'll be upfront and they'll tell you that, yeah, look, this doesn't work for me. In my case, I don't usually accept content that brands have already created, because I am a photographer. I prefer shooting my own images. when I'm wearing a brand's clothes, I have a photographer, Bharat, he's my husband. He does the photography and I edit. And I think editing is one of my, you know, it's I'm good at it. So I that works for me, and I don't accept content from brands. I produce my own stills. I have started doing a little bit of video now as well. So I prefer that because it's, I also get to, you know, try my hand at showing a brand's products or services from my point of view, which is why I use the hashtag #EyesForX all the time. Because I enjoy doing that. It's my interpretation of what the brand stands for. And I get to capture it the way probably the other photographer wouldn't. Maybe I'll capture the brand a little better than what the brand has already produced. I mean, I don't mean to sound arrogant, but there is a high chance that will happen. So I prefer that, and I prefer to write my own words as well. I do ask brands to send me a press release related to the product or the launch so that I have an idea of the technicalities that I otherwise might not know about. Unless I have a long-standing relationship with a brand, I don't know what the brand is about or what their product is about. Which is why over a period of time, you must build a relationship so that the influencer is comfortable with talking about your brand, even if it's not a paid activity. And I prefer, which also now brings me to the question of the ownership of the content. You must think of licensing the images, who owns those images. So in my case, as a photographer, I started out as a photographer. Influencer marketing, blogging, getting paid to post on Instagram, these were all secondary. So I always licensed my images before that. So when it came to blogging, when a brand said that, hey, we want you to come and shoot our behind the scenes thing, etc., etc., I would always mention in the contract what the licensing was, whether the usage was going to be national, international, for how much period of time, whether I was selling them images for advertising usage, or was it only going to be internal marketing usage, was it going to be for PR or editorial purposes. So I knew this language already. A lot of brands don't know this, and a lot of influencers don't know this either. And it is quite horrendous how it works. Just recently I heard about this example where this blogger did a personal style feature with a fashion label. And they got themselves photographed wearing the brand's clothes, etc. And it was all 100% advance, etc. So they had been paid. And they did the shoot and they published it on their blog and they wrote about it. They wrote about the dress, they linked to the brand, etc. And then the brand, the representative at the brand, of course, called up the influencer and says, by when can we expect the high resolution images? And I'm sorry, but what the hell? You, if it had not been discussed in the contract beforehand and included, how can you just call up someone and ask for high-res images? You haven't, so you need to specify where will you be using those images. And why do you even need high-res images? I mean, so their response was that, oh, we need it for internal purposes. No, I'm sorry, use the low-res images that's on the blog. Why do you need high-res images for internal communication? That's bollocks. So eventually it turned out that they wanted to use it for in-store displays, which is advertising usage. And you need to buy a license to use those images. You can't just call up an influencer and say, oh, but you know, so their response was, oh, but the 10 other influencers we worked with earlier, they all gave us high-res images. Well, sure, they're all idiots. That doesn't mean everyone is an idiot. And they don't know the value they're providing. That's their problem. So as an influencer, please don't just, you know, I tell influencers also, don't just give away your images. You've spent time and those images have value. If a brand is going to use those images for advertising, for example, that image is helping them sell more product. So that is not part of what an influencer is doing for the brand, right? So that is why those images have separate value. So in my contracts, I always used to, after discussing with the client, say that, look, if you need the high-res images, you know, it will cost 10K per image after that and you can pick one. Depending again on the usage. A client once got in touch with me saying that there is this one image they wanted from a fashion shoot I'd done. And they wanted to use it in their Chinese market. They wanted to put it on hoardings, etc. So I said, fine. I mean, I found out what the market rate was and I quoted. And they were like, okay, no, we'll pass. Which is fine with me. You can use the low res ones, but I'm sorry, you cannot use my images for, you know, advertising and putting it on hoardings. Because then it makes me look like I am endorsing the product, which was not part of the contract. So you need to think of these usage licensing things, that even if someone is just posting a phone photo on their Instagram, for example, in the contract that you sign with them as a brand, you need to make sure that, okay, we would like to reuse these photos, which brings me to reuse of content. You must reuse content. The number of brands I work with who have no clue how or have even considered that they should be reusing content that an influencer has created for them. Why would you not? You're already paying the influencer to create this content, which is probably going to be better than what you already have. Why would you not reuse it? And by reuse, I mean that you just repost it on Instagram, you retweet it on Twitter, you take the images from their blog and you put them on your blog. So for example, my images that I put in the blog, they always have my logo as a watermark on the bottom left corner. And I always tell brands that, you know, I write it in my contract, even though they have not asked me, that these images from the blog, which are low resolution with a watermark, are available for reuse. If you want to repost it on your Facebook, please always repost it with the credit line, whatever photos from by Nena.co, and link back to the original blog story. Or if you're reposting it on Instagram, automatically you will get that my handle is there, Nena.co. So it's a repost from there. So it stays in the caption. So I get credit. If the brand has more followers than I do, then that's great for me also. So influencers appreciate this. And you know, some of us even use it as a negotiating tactic. We say that, look, if your global handle is reposting our content, then sure, I might shave off like 5-10k from my invoice. Because for me, it's like, you know, someone who has 21 million followers is, you know, reposting an image that I have shot. I suddenly get a spike of followers, which then increases my value in the eyes of clients. And so it goes. Unfortunately, it is all about the numbers these days. So while you have to look at quality, you also need to work with someone who has an X number of followers. You can't work with like someone who has 100 followers. You're not going to get so much value out of it. So it works for us. My numbers go up. The brand gets to post nice content on their Insta, which they've already paid me for. And some brands also would like to produce or reproduce the content on their own blog. So they might say, okay, fine, you're doing a story for us. We would like to set up an interview and we would also like to feature you on our blog and also reuse some of the photos that you have put on your blog. Generally, that's not a problem. It's when it comes to advertising usage and you're using it to sell more product, etc. That is when you need to consider licensing and usage licensing and who is going to use it, how is the image going to be used, etc. Okay, so that was the ownership bit. Then what content goes where? You know, for example, on Instagram, visuals are better and you can write a pretty long post as well along with that. Now, many people might not read that. That's fine, but that you can use both there. Still, Instagram is primarily a visual platform. What kind of content will you put in Instagram stories, for example? So maybe the influencer will record, you know, using the handle, a little bit of the unboxing of your product or a selfie at your event, which they're covering. Or verified Instagram profiles, for example, you can also include URLs. So it says, you know, swipe below and visit the story, for example. So the value of that is a little more than someone who doesn't have a verified Insta account, because I don't have one, because you can't include URLs in that. And Twitter, for example, you can include 4 photographs in one tweet. So photos plus a tweet, you can tag the handle of the brand and you can link to the blog post. So what kind of content will go where is another consideration. It can't just be blanket that we want one photo everywhere. Consider each platform carefully and decide which platform works best for you. On Facebook, you just might want them to post the entire album of photos and write a little bit about whatever. You could do that on your own page as a brand. So each platform is different. That needs to be considered. Okay, so I've already talked about how image licensing is not automatic because it can mean brand endorsement. And for example, if you're using a model, you need to pay the model also, right? So an influencer is a model for you. And timetable of the content. How will it be posted? Will it stay or will it get deleted after a while? This is another thing on my Instagram. For example, recently, I look at how well my latest update is doing. And if I feel that it's not doing as well as the other updates I've made, then within 2 to 3 or 4 hours, I delete it. And sometimes I even wait 48 hours because if it is an important image, I really like the image and I'm like, why is it not getting more likes? then I do leave it on for a while. But if I realize it's not doing well, then I remove that image. So this also you need to consider with the influencer before you sign a contract with them. Some of the points that you need to be considering. And for example, on Twitter, for example, I don't delete anything. So it stays on Twitter. On Instagram, I do consider deleting and I do let brands know that I would like to delete it if the image is not doing well. That also depends on how much time and effort I'm willing to spend on creating that image. Well-created images show, but if the brand doesn't have a budget for me to actually go shoot somewhere and create an image, then it won't do well. It doesn't, see Instagram, if it doesn't look awesome, unless you're a Bollywood celebrity, they can post anything and it'll get likes. But it needs to be visually extremely appealing. So even for example, on my blog, when I post 10 images, on Instagram, out of those 10, I'll probably post 2 or 3. And because I have to make a super selection. And on Facebook, again, you can leave it. It can stay. But Insta, I think people or influencers are a lot more concerned about being featured in the Instagram algorithm. Because the Instagram algorithm, no one really knows how it works. So everyone's trying to figure it out. And I don't like gaming the system where I've heard of Instagram pods and you become part of this clique which is of other influencers and they like your photos and they promote you and you promote them or you buy followers and you buy likes. And I don't think that's a very authentic way of connecting with your audience. Sure, my numbers tend to stay lower than most of the others, but this works for me. And the only thing that I have now started doing is that I'm like, oh, okay, Instagram, I need to see, okay, this photo is not getting too many likes. And you have to try and see what times work when. You have to see, and especially for that particular influencer, and what part of the world are they in. So on the basis of that, you decide, okay, you know, this has to be posted in the evening. Can we post this at like really late at night? And you can see on Instagram what time you get the maximum number of likes, for example. The influencer can share that with you. Similarly, on Twitter, you can kind of decide. There's a lot of stuff available online which will tell you what are good times to post. Not always, they don't always work, but you have to kind of experiment and see, which is where it comes in that you yourself should have your own social media accounts and figure out how this works. This was part 3 of Influencer Marketing for Brands by Naina.co. If you have questions, please email me. And I will be coming up with part 4 next week. Thank you for listening. Bye.